You're cruising down the highway, windows rolled down, tunes blasting from the radio. You're in the zone and living the dream. Suddenly, your car sputters, coughs, and throws a wrench in your whole day. Tow trucks, repair bills, the dream turns into a nightmare. Don't wait until car trouble steals your peace of mind. Visit CarShield now at carshield.com/Carlson. For nearly 20 years, CarShield has helped millions of drivers avoid the stress of major repairs. They offer plans covering up to 5,000 parts and systems, from your engine and transmission to electronics and more, all for a low monthly rate that fits your budget. CarShield plans also include unlimited miles, 24/7 roadside assistance, and rental options. Get peace of mind now. Visit CarShield online at carshield.com/Carlson. Join millions of customers and contact CarShield now to save 20%. Visit carshield.com/Carlson. That's carshield.com/Carlson. Visit now.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast. Politics by Faith.
Hey, Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News, Monday, April 29th, 2024. Stand up for your country. Well, it's about 80 degrees, a little warmer. I just checked it, about 83 here in New York. I'm going out to see the Mets Cubs tonight. I got friends on both teams. And then I was at the Islanders on Saturday. And the reason I'm telling you this is because if I didn't have sports, I think I'd go mad, M-A-D, over this politics and world chaos and lack of leadership and dishonesty and media collapse. My world never ends, and it's all negative. But I go into the sports realm and, you know, get a little bit of relief. So that's where we're heading tonight after we tape the show and do a bunch of other stuff. Poor leadership is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. So over the weekend, about 300 people taken into custody on college campuses across the country, and they are protesting against Israel. Some of them are anti-Semitic. Most of them are stupid. By that, I mean they don't know anything about the conflict or the history of the region. They're out there for a big party. Their friends are this, so they do it. Very unlike Vietnam, where it was an eyewitness situation. You could see what was unfolding in Southeast Asia by the soldiers coming back from that theater to my hometown, Levittown, and other places, and you could hear their stories. This is totally detached from college campuses. They don't know what's going on over there. So Arizona State, Washington University in St. Louis, Indiana University, Northeastern in Boston, Virginia Tech, along with Columbia and the others you know about, NYU, the Ivy League schools, they just are allowing these protesters to do pretty much what they want. Critical mass has been reached, though, okay? And now they're going to have to take action. But my question is a very simple one because I am a simple man. Where is President Biden on all of this? Where? He has made one verbal statement in Virginia, April 22nd. Roll it.
Mr. President,
what's your message to the protesters?
Do you condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses?
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being moved.
Should the Columbia University president resign?
Right this way, Mr. President.
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more about it.
Should he resign?
Well, Biden didn't set up any program to deal with anti-Semitic protests. That's just another thing he just throws out there. What's the program? Who's in charge of it? I never heard of it. Did you? Nobody's ever heard of it. And, yeah, but I condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. Hey, you don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians, Mr. President. You have no idea that Hamas runs Gaza. 100% that strip of territory in the Middle East, get one of your aides to show you where it is run by terrorists. Just like Somalia. It's the same thing. That's what we understand. And the Palestinian people who live there either do what the terrorists tell them to do, or they're killed. So, yeah, do I feel sorry for the Palestinian people who live there? I do. But if I was born into that, I would have left. I would have picked up and said, I'm not living here. I'm going somewhere else, anywhere else. But I'm not staying here. Because sooner or later, the terrorists are going to be confronted. And they brought it on themselves. Now, am I blaming the Palestinian people? I'm not blaming them, but I'm telling you this is predictable. If you're a Nazi in 1938 and you see what your government is doing, you think it's going to come out okay? So there's a responsibility every human being has to protect his or herself. And the Palestinian people have not done that. Now, surely they could rise up against Hamas, but Hamas is pretty popular there. It's not like the Palestinian people hate Hamas. So do you condemn me, Joe Biden? I just told you what's happening. You don't know what's happening. Oh, it's just so frustrating. Okay. So Biden has completely abdicated his responsibility in the United States to at least confront these protesters with the truth. And he doesn't want to do that. Why? Because progressive left controls him. The progressive left movement controls Biden. Not going to go against them. Never has, never will. That's why we have an open border, unfettered abortion, on and on and on and on. Okay. So the situation over there is now being what they call negotiated. Biden puts pressure on Netanyahu not to kill civilians. I would do the same thing. Sometimes in war, civilians are going to get killed. But if you can avoid killing civilians, that's better, right? Okay, here's what Biden says about Israel itself. Go.
So what I'm calling for is for the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire, allow for the next 6-8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country. I've spoken with everyone from the Saudis to the Jordanians to the Egyptians. They're prepared to move in.
You can't do a ceasefire unless they release the hostages. More than 100, probably about 150, some Americans, dual citizenship people. So, okay, you're holding 150. You can't say to Hamas, oh, yeah, we're going to stop fighting if you're Israel and let humanitarian aid go in, but you don't have to do anything. You don't have to release any hostages. I mean, it's just anybody would know that except Biden doesn't know it. All right. So Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, nobody knows him. Go out today and ask anybody you see. Who's Antony Blinken? They'll go, I don't know. Well, he's over in Saudi Arabia. The Israelis have made Hamas a ceasefire offer. Roll the tape.
Now, the quickest way to bring this to an end is to get to a ceasefire and the release of hostages. Hamas has before it a proposal that is extraordinarily extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel.
Did you know that? Does Biden know that? I don't even think Biden knows it. All right. Certainly the protesters don't know it. They're condemning Israel, which has just made an extraordinarily generous offer to stop hostilities with Hamas, according to Blinken. Now, caveat, the protesters don't want to know that. They just want to hate Israel. That's what progressives do. They've always done it. So, you know, you can't say, hey, did you hear about this extraordinarily generous offer on to Hamas by Israel? Protesters, care about that. All right, so let's sum this up. No leadership on Biden. Is anybody surprised? What issue has he led on since he's been president? Give me one. Bill at BillO'Reilly.com, name and town. I want to be fair. Give me one issue that Joe Biden has led on. One. Okay, that's a memo. Did you know every day is a perfect day for peace of mind? With American Home Shield Warranty, you are covered for unexpected breakdowns like leaky faucets or faulty water heaters. Choose a plan that fits your budget and rest easy knowing repairs and replacements are taken care of. Simply contact American Home Shield when an issue arises, and their trusted pros will handle it according to your coverage. Don't let worries about appliances and home systems weigh you down. Celebrate the reassurance of protection. Don't worry, be warranty. For 20% off plans, visit ahs.com/bill. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product is being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been delivering on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who put their lives on the line to protect our country and our communities. Heroes like Bristol, Connecticut Police Sergeant Dustin DeMonte. After responding to a domestic violence incident, he sustained fatal gunshot wounds. He left behind his expectant wife and two children. Thanks to the generosity of people like you, Tunnel to Towers paid the mortgage on the DeMonte family home, lifting a financial burden. As his loved ones mourned the decorated officer's loss, they welcomed a miracle, the child he would never get to meet. So many families need your help. Please help America's heroes and their young families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. 95 cents out of every dollar you donate goes to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
At Harvard, protesters put up Palestinian flags. Okay. So the university took them down. And now a Harvard spokesperson says the incident was a, quote, violation of university policy. Vigilants involved will be subject to disciplinary action. So that's new. Okay, now Harvard's cracking down because Harvard has been roundly embarrassed. You know, it's a leading university in the world, and now people don't even want to go there. That's how things are bad. Joining us from Los Angeles is a recent graduate of Harvard University, 2022, cum laude in history, Julie Hartman, now works with our pal Dennis Prager out on the West Coast. They do podcasts and things like that. So first question, when I graduated from Harvard with a master's degree, it was in the 90s, far different place, far different world. So, and I was up there about 6 months ago in Cambridge talking to some of the faculty at the Kennedy School where I graduated. And everybody's worried about the university because, again, it goes right, poor leadership. When you were there, Julie, did you see poor leadership, or were you just oblivious to it?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. When I was at Harvard, I absolutely saw it. I had a big political awakening when I was a sophomore in college. I entered Harvard as a liberal and I exited as a staunch conservative. And what happened was I was sent home in the middle of my sophomore year due to the COVID lockdowns. And I lost the entire rest of my sophomore year and the entirety of my junior year, Zooming school from my childhood bedroom. And that, paired with the Black Lives Matter riots of the summer of 2020, was enough to awaken me to the radicalism of the left. And so when you ask about, was I aware of the university's poor leadership, it was hard not to be aware when you were sent home for a year and a half due to COVID lockdowns. That's when I started my show with Dennis Prager. I did it out of my dorm room my senior year of college. I wrote an editorial for the Wall Street Journal when I was a senior because even though we had been 2 years out of COVID, it was 2022 when I was a senior, we were still having to mask. We were limited to only 10 students in a room for fear of COVID spreading. We had to wear a mask as we were getting our food, but then we could take our mask off when we were eating our food because apparently COVID only lived where the food was and didn't live in the dining room where you ate the food. So I was calling out all of the hypocrisy and insanity. And no wonder it is metastasized into this now, where these campuses basically are non-functionable because of all of the wokeism and all of the poor policies that over the years have been allowed to spread. And now they've blown up into this.
When you were taking courses in history, did you see, were the professors left-wingers? Were they pushing an alternative view of history? Did you see any of that?
Oh, of course. I mean, I was very careful by the end of my experience to avoid the most lefty professors. But I remember in my 20th century American history course, the presidency of Ronald Reagan was reduced to a few bullet points. And it was tax cuts, which harm the poor, and war on drugs and mass incarceration. So I raised my hand and I said, does he get credit for, you know, anything else, like maybe helping the end of the Cold War? But you know how it goes. It was, of course, many of my classes were crazy woke.
Okay. Did you ever get into confrontations with other students? Because you're fairly outspoken, and your senior year, you were very outspoken. Did you get into confrontations with other kids there?
Absolutely. I do want to make clear, though, that when I came out, if you will, as a conservative and very publicly, I did have a lot of people stick by me. I have the most wonderful friends from Harvard. There are more common sense students on these campuses than you might think. But yes, when I first went on Dennis's show and when I started the podcast, I had people telling me that I was a racist, bigot, a white supremacist. And by the way, a lot of those individuals who scorned me back then have, to their credit, actually come around and now said to me, you were right. You were calling out the kind of seeds that were being planted that led to this crazy explosion that we've been seeing over the past few weeks.
All right. Why do you think, when I was there at the Kennedy School, I was there for a year and a half, and then I got a master's in public administration. The faculty was left, but not crazy left. And there were, in the criminal justice area of the Kennedy School, conservatives. They developed the broken window theories. But by and large, it was, you know, a touchy-feely. I remember the dean of the Kennedy School resigned because of Bill Clinton. He worked for Bill Clinton, signing the you have to work if you want welfare. So Clinton, a Democrat, changed the welfare system. You had to look for work. And this guy quit the Clinton administration because of that. And then subsequently wound up at Harvard. But it wasn't like when I was in the classroom, it wasn't crazy, insane, you shut up, we want to hurt you, until some of the education students came over to take courses. They were loons across the board. The Harvard School of Education, we used to sit there and look at them like, are you kidding me? I mean, this is absurd. But in your case, you know, recently, was the education that you received there, so tainted by this leftist agenda that you were disappointed?
I don't regret going to Harvard. As I said, I made a lot of great friends. I had a wonderful dorm. Ironically, I actually went on an all-expenses-paid-for trip to Israel for 10 days when I was a senior through the Harvard Hillel. And so I actually think I had a lot of great academic and outside of the classroom opportunities. But also, it is worth noting that, as I told you, I had a political awakening when I was a sophomore, and I spent a lot of my COVID time reading Paul Johnson, reading your history books, you know, being affiliated with Dennis, learning through PragerU. So when I went back to class, I think the woke sludge didn't really resonate so much with me because I had gotten sturdy in my worldview and my intellect.
Yeah, you were armed and dangerous with facts, which is always counter to the emotion of the progressive movement. Well, we wish you the best, Julie. Our best to Prager. PragerU is very, very useful to this country. I want people to know that. And we appreciate your time very much tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorting through your expenses, estimated payments, and all those tax deductions can be overwhelming, might even lead to a failure to file and failure to pay penalties that pile up on your tax debt. The attorneys at Tax Network USA have been lifesavers for many Americans. Their team has successfully saved clients more than $1 billion in tax debt. A billion. Whether you're in the hole for $10,000 or $10 million, they are ready to help. The expert attorneys and tax professionals at Tax Network USA are equipped to secure the best settlement for you and help you resolve all tax cases. So please go to taxnetworkusa.com/bill, or you can call 1-800-245-6000. These debt relief programs are expected to change, so get started now. Please go to taxnetworkusa.com/bill, or you can call 1-800-245-6000. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you.
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds, and stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to arcseedkits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's arcseedkits.com, promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. arcseedkits.com.
President Biden's schedule, he didn't show up to work today. That's probably not fair. Nobody's seen him. So he had a big night Saturday at the Washington Correspondents' Dinner. I'm going to get into that. But nobody really knows where he is. So. CNN poll. All right. 1,200 respondents, including 967 registered voters. They should all be registered voters, CNN. Why are you talking to people who aren't registered voters? Why? Come on. Anyway, all right. Number one question. If the presidential vote were held today, who would you vote for? Biden, 43, Trump, 49. Wow, 6-point difference. If the election were held with all the independents, who would you vote for? All right, Trump, 42, Biden, 33, 9-point spread. Kennedy, 16, West, 4, Stein, 3. Looking back on Trump's 4 years in office, would you say his presidency was a success? 55% say yes. A failure, 44. Next one, since the start of 2021, would you say Biden's presidency has been a success? 39, a failure, 61. Woo. That poll came out on Sunday morning, 8 a.m., didn't get any attention. Not even CNN gave it a lot of attention. It was covered very briefly by MSNBC and FNC. Even Fox didn't cover it. Why? Because it goes against Fox's poll. Networks ignored it totally. Now, that's not a surprise. Whenever you see anything positive for Trump, they're not going to even mention it. So 90% of the American public don't know about that surge in the CNN poll for Trump. Do I believe this poll? No, I don't believe it. Number one, his sample is polluted. Number two, I think it's far closer than that. However, I think that nostalgia for the Trump presidency, where we didn't have the overseas chaos, we didn't have inflation, we didn't have an open border, is growing. Now, Trump should analyze this poll himself and capitalize on it by stopping the more inflammatory statements and building on the perception that his administration was far better than the Biden administration. Stop the personal stuff. Go with the record. Now, I've said that, and you've heard me say it. I hate to be repetitive, but if Trump did that, he would win the election, despite all of this other legal stuff. People know what that is. Tamp down the emotion. Up with the record. Howard Stern. I'm going to avoid commenting on him. Known him since our days at Boston University, where he denies knowing me, but then we put a clip up of the O'Reilly Factor where he and I discussed our time at the Boston. I just don't know. I just don't know. And I don't listen. Okay, I used to when he was funny, but now he's a different guy. And you can decide whether that's a good or bad thing. So the Biden people are desperate to reach the American public, but they don't want to do hard news interviews. So they made a deal with Stern. And the deal was no questions on the border, inflation, Israel, protests, violent crime. No. How do I know that? Because Stern didn't ask any questions about it. Now, it is inconceivable, whether you like Stern or not, he's not stupid. You got a guy walking in and he's got all of this deficit on his sheet and you don't ask him anything about it? Even Biden mocked Stern. Go.
I do interviews with strong, independent journalists who millions of people actually listen to, like Howard Stern.
So he's mocking this guy who just interviewed him. All right, so look, I would never make a deal with anybody, and I never have in my entire career, about what I ask and what I don't ask. But I'm a journalist. Stern is an entertainer. Okay, wants people to listen to him. But that it makes me queasy. I have to say that. Okay, so there are a few things in the interview. Number one, Biden said he would debate Trump. We'll see. All right. I mean, the odds on that. But we'll see. Secondly, Stern is now a Democrat, I believe, from the reports that I get. But I don't know. I know he likes hanging around with Hollywood people, so you almost have to be liberal Democrat. So here, I'm going to play a couple of clips. Here's the first one. Go.
How do some of the guys that you served in the Senate with, I'm talking about Republicans.
They don't.
How are they going along with this?
Well, I don't think, look, this is not your father's Republican Party.
No, it isn't. This,
okay, so it's, that was all about Trump and January 6th. The Democrats continue to say that Donald Trump wanted and caused the riot on January 6th at the nation's capital. That's what they say. And that's what Stern with that. How can Republicans go along with that? Well, okay. You know, I mean, we'll see. I don't think that trial's ever going to happen, by the way, but if it does, we'll see. The second one, again, well, just roll it.
Did you ever think you'd live in an America where Republicans are for Putin? I mean, no. I bang my head against the wall. Thank God you got the whole, you know, the Ukraine aid. I mean, who the hell?
So Republicans are not for Putin? I don't know one Republican legislator who's for Putin. Do you? I mean, they say Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is for Putin, but I just think she's for herself and wants to get attention or say anything. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she loves Putin. I don't know. I haven't seen that. Certainly she doesn't want to give any aid to Ukraine. That's fair. But even in that category, most Republicans voted for aid for Ukraine. So there's Stern going, well, Republicans are for Putin. What is that? But the next soundbite is the one that is the what they call the tell, T-E-L-L. This is another softball question. Roll it.
Who do you think was the greatest president of all time? I have an answer for this, but I want to hear yours.
Well, I think Jefferson was one of my favorite presidents of all time. But also there were people who came along in periods. I think the fact that Roosevelt, you know, came when he did and the way he did and the way he stood up. You know, I hope you come to my office one day. I sat in that Oval Office for 8 years with Barack every morning at 9 o'clock. And used to be, and before that, I was chairman of foreign relations.
What does that mean? He's just babbling. Number one, Jefferson was not even close to being the greatest president. Number two, Roosevelt came along and did what he did. What did he do? I play that soundbite for one reason and one reason only. Biden could not answer that question. As soft as it was, he could not answer it because he doesn't have the grasp. He doesn't know what Thomas Jefferson did or didn't do. He doesn't know what Roosevelt did or didn't do. He is in cognitive decline. He can't. I hope you come to my office. I was on the Senate committee. What? I mean, really, it's sad, but it's also horrifying because he could be reelected. All right, no Trump trial today. The judge gave everybody off to travel for Passover. It resumes tomorrow. Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota. I know the governor. I like her. I think she's done a very good job with the state. She has a book coming out next week, May 7th. No Going Back, The Truth on What's Wrong with Politics and How We Move America Forward is the name of the book. All right, so The Guardian, which hates conservatives, that's a British newspaper, gets a hold of the book. And in the book, Governor Noem says she shot her dog dead. Cricket is a dog. Okay, so I'm paraphrasing The Guardian, Prince. On the way home from a hunting trip, Noem writes that she stopped to talk to a family. Cricket, the dog, got out of Noem's truck and attacked and killed some of the family chickens, then bit the governor herself. I hated that dog, Noem writes, deeming her untrainable. At the moment, Noem writes, I realized I had to put her down. She led Cricket to a gravel pit and shot her dead. Okay, so the quote, the story is true because Governor Noem replied to it. Quote, South Dakota law states that dogs who attack and kill livestock can be put down. Given that Cricket had shown aggressive behavior toward people by biting them, I decided what I did. Whether running the ranch or in politics, I have never passed on my responsibilities to anyone else to handle, even if it's hard and painful. Okay, so she shot Cricket. The governor shot Cricket dead. All right. That's it for national office. Now, it's shocking, number one, that Kristi Noem would actually put that in a book. you've got to know that Americans are just going to recoil. If you have a terrible dog, there are ways to deal with that besides taking her to a gravel pit and shooting her in the head. I mean, don't do that. So that may sound trivial to some, but it's over.
Hey, this is Vivek Ramaswamy. The media has systematically lied to you. The Hunter Biden laptop story, the origin of COVID-19, the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, or how your money's being spent in Ukraine. Enough already with the lies. No more lies, hard truths only. That's what the Truth Podcast is all about. It's not standard conservative talking points. If you want that, go somewhere else. But if you want the hard truth delivered to you in a way that challenges you and will challenge me intellectually, you're not going to find anything like this on the internet. Subscribe to the Truth Podcast today on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Smart life. Very simple, smart life. Ready? Don't talk politics on the job. Don't. Because you will get hurt if you do. Nothing good can come from you stating your political opinion at the workplace. What happens is people hear what you say. They may disagree with what you say, and a lot of them are emotionally ill, and they'll try to hurt you. Not directly, but they'll go behind your back, sabotage you, gossip about you. Don't do it. Sometimes it's hard. But if you do, you're not living a smart life. You got to protect your livelihood. All right, I wrote a column that's very important, the treachery behind the protests. It's on BillO'Reilly.com. Thousands of people have read it and commented on it. I'd like you to read it. It's very important information that you won't get from the other media people. So I hope you do. Stay in history. April 29, 2008, Barack Obama running for president, okay, and a story breaks about his pastor in Chicago, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who is anti-American. Roll the tape.
We bombed Hiroshima, we bombed Nagasaki, and we nuked far more than the thousands in New York and the Pentagon, and we never batted an eye. And now we are indignant because the stuff we have done overseas is now brought right back into our own front yards. America's chickens are coming home to roost.
All right, so that almost derailed the entire Obama presidential campaign, and he was forced to repudiate his own pastor. Go.
You know, I have been a member of Trinity United Church of Christ since 1992. I've known Reverend Wright for almost 20 years. The person I saw yesterday was not the person that I met 20 years ago. His comments were not only divisive and destructive, but I believe that they end up giving comfort to those who prey on hate. And I believe that they do not portray accurately the perspective of the black church. They certainly don't portray accurately my values and beliefs.
That was 16 years ago today. Obama survived it, but people remember it. Now, what happened to Reverend Wright? Well, he retired to a $1 million home next to a golf course in upscale Chicago suburb Tinley Park. September 2016, he suffered a stroke, partially paralyzed him. He is still alive. He is 82 years old, this day in history. All right, good lively mail segment and the correspondence dinner and a final thought right back. Let's go to the mail. Anna, concierge member, we hope you check out that program. It is insurance policy for your life. Very important that you consider concierge membership at BillO'Reilly.com. The amazing thing is that most American Jews will still vote for Biden in the Democrat Party. They've always belonged to the Democrat Party, no matter if that party favors Palestine. All my Jewish neighbors in Marina Del Rey are voting for Biden. Okay. E. Galen. The United Methodist Church having their conference in Charlotte, North Carolina. This week, they held a demonstration in support of Palestine. One reason I am no longer a follower of the United Methodist Church. Rick Lachlan, Rochester, Minnesota. I've been hearing from other news organizations that as a country, we're split, similar to the years leading up to the Civil War. No, not nearly as violent and intense as that, but it's disturbing, the split in the country. Scott Blair, Toronto, Canada. I live in a sea of Trump haters up here. Do you have snappy comebacks to all my friends and family who, when I remind them that Biden can't put a sentence together, always ignore it and say, what about Trump? Why bother? You know, I don't even bother trying to convince anybody. I just say, look, I can't live with the lack of leadership. I just can't. And the record. Dan Calderado, Franklin, Massachusetts. Your analysis on hard-right Republicans voting against Ukraine aid is flawed. Putin may have ideas about conquering Europe in the long term, but who is the bright bulb who threatened admitting Ukraine into NATO? Nobody. You're buying propaganda. There was no proposal to introduce Ukraine into NATO. Nobody was behind that. Everybody knows that Ukraine isn't ready for that. And nobody wanted to tee off Putin. But you're buying a propaganda. William Moreland, Gardner, Maine. Bill, you said that an organization similar to Gestapo could never happen in the USA. I sit back and watch Lawfare directed at President Trump. Never say never. Come on. It's not even in the same universe. Reed killing the SS. All right. That's all I can say. Mike Murray, Dallas, Oregon. President Trump is found guilty. He will appeal, but can the state of New York hold him in jail during that time? No. Philip Schultz, Reno, Nevada. Smart life tip. Go to Costco for prescription sunglasses. You'll save big money. You know, that's a good tip. I've been looking at Costco and Sam's Clubs in these places. It's worth it. It's worth it to save you a lot of money. Bill Forrest, Woodbridge, Virginia. I saw 92-year-old Dan Rather on Sunday morning. He was asked what he thought of today's reporters. He said they are better than they were in his day. Is Dan delusional or clueless? Delusional. But he's pandering. He knows that's not true. He's just pandering. Okay, BillO'Reilly.com, Mom's Day. Okay, 2 weeks. Not Woke, our best-selling mug ever. Not Woke for Mom. And then we have Self-Reliance if you want to get her too. Dad'll love them too. We got the book bundle. You got Witches, you got Legends, you got Killers, The Mob, Crazy Horse, 33% off. Then you have Confronting the Presidents. If you become, give Mom or Grandma a premium membership, you get my new book out September 10th free. Or any of my other books. Or a mug. You can get the mug. Not Woke free if you become a premium or concierge member on BillO'Reilly.com. Don't be a poltroon, P-O-L-T. P-O-L-T-R-O-O-N. Back with a final thought about the correspondence dinner. Okay, I wrote a message of the day on BillO'Reilly.com. That's free every morning. You can go in there on the correspondence dinner. As you know, I went to a lot of them. Okay, and, you know, it's the same people, the same mentality. And but Fox had very little presence there. When I was there, when Fox really was at its apex, we had a big presence, not anymore. So Colin Jost, Saturday Night Live, it looked a little shaky up there. I'll just give you a sample. Go.
Everything feels strange now. By a lot of measures, President Biden is having a very successful first term, but people don't seem to realize it. Like with the economy, the vibes are bad, but the numbers say it's strong. The economy is kind of like you on the steps of Air Force One. It feels like it's stumbling, but there is somehow upward progress.
Okay, so Joseph is in a tough position. If you really want to see a master of work in that room, 2010 Jay Leno. Google that, and you'll see the difference. You got to use visuals. You got to do a whole bunch of stuff. It just he was out of his comfort zone. I didn't think he did a bad job, but it was okay. Then I remembered, I hearkened back to when I invited Donald Trump to the dinner, 2015. Okay. And when Trump walked in, there wasn't any negativity because he wasn't in politics then. He was thinking about it, but he was keeping it real quiet. I didn't know. So I just brought him in. He had gotten flayed in 2011 by Obama, and I thought he might want to go back, you know, and he did. And we had a few laughs. It was no incident. And then in the message of the day on BillO'Reilly.com, I tell you about, you know, my interactions with some very famous people, but it wasn't like it is now. So if you're on Fox, and Jost poked Fox, but, you know, come on. It's low-hanging fruit at this point, right? So easy to do in front of that audience because they're all the same. The mindset is the same there. You know, they don't particularly like Joe Biden. There's nobody in there going, oh, we got to have four more years of Biden. But they hate Republicans and Trump so much, okay, that they probably the only person they wouldn't vote for would be Netanyahu. So, but the hatred, oh, and, you know, that's bad. Bad for the country, bad for journalism. It just infected and torn apart our communication system. And people make a lot of money on that, tons of money, which is why the corporate media embraces the hatred. I mean, NBC News is directly responsible for MSNBC, the most hateful network in the history of this country. They don't care. What do they care? Nah. Can't justify it. There's no way. And you can say, but I don't see a lot of hate on Fox. There's a few, but it's not across the board. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't want to watch a lot of that stuff anymore. I could be wrong on it. Let me know what you think. Bill at BillO'Reilly.com, name in town. Thank you very much for watching and listening to the No Spin News. See you tomorrow.